This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. We've, whether it's the movie White Christmas or the song itself, this is a common staple for a lot of our celebrations of Christmas, isn't it? I wonder what your favorite moment of the movie might be. I'm assuming you've seen the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, that's okay. It's on Netflix, and you could watch it this week if you feel led. Like all good Hallmark movies, there's an element of drama that is overblown, and that makes the whole plot work for the movie White Christmas. Sorry to give all that away, but it's just one small little drama point that if a conversation would have been had, the whole movie could have been avoided. But that's another day. My favorite moment of the movie, obviously, is the song Snow. Now, you might know that I love snow and I love winter. Now, I know that in this room, I realize that some of you cannot stand snow, that it makes your life way more difficult, but I love it and I enjoy it. And yeah, I don't enjoy it like I did when I was a kid. You know, I would love just running across the yard full speed and just wiping out, and it was no big deal. And with 2020 and all the surgeries I've had this year, I'm not looking forward to wiping out at all. I don't want that to happen, right? So it's a weird thing. As I get older, I don't enjoy it in the same way. But what I love about snow is the stillness that freshly fallen snow creates. Have you noticed that when it snows and everything's covered on the ground, you just like open the door to your house and you see the lights and everything is just dampened, that it's still and quiet. And of course, it's white. Everything just seems so pure. And this transitions into how White Christmas reminds us of Jesus. Like, listen to what the prophet Isaiah said, again, in Isaiah 1:18. Come, let's reason together. Let's think about this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So that's a great idea, right? That my sins, that are as red as this sweater I'm wearing and boiling in today, this sweater, the red, right? That's how red my sin is. It can be washed and be white as snow. Though my sins are like crimson, they're red like crimson, they can become like wool. How's that pulled off? How are we saved from our sins? How does that happen? Does God just say, well, not a big deal, whatever? That is the question of the Bible, and it centers very much on this traditional telling of the Christmas story in Matthew 1. So again, I'm going to be real quick today. We're not going, 45 minutes through this exposition, but there's three names of Jesus mentioned in Matthew 1 that help us understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. And so that's what we're going to look at real quick. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 23. So let me read this, and then we'll get into these three names and be done. Ready? Here's what we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so when Joseph woke from sleep, we'll read verses 24 and 25 too. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. So there's three names of Jesus in this passage, and they really help us understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. And so today, if you're wondering, like, how can my sin be taken so that it is no longer red like crimson, red like scarlet, but it can be white as snow? How is that accomplished? It's accomplished through God sending his son Jesus. And who he is and what he came to do makes all the difference in the world. And this passage shows us that. And it's right there at the outset, right? The first name mentioned helps us see who Jesus is. In verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. The birth of Jesus the King. The birth of Jesus the Messiah. So I know I mentioned this fairly consistently, but Christ isn't just Jesus' last name. It's not his surname. It's a title. Jesus Christ is saying that he's the king. He's the promised one. He's the Lord. There were all kinds of people named Jesus in the first century world. It was a real common name. It was the way a Hebrew child, a Hebrew family would name their children Joshua. They would call him Jesus. It was the same thing. It pointed to something. And marking out Jesus, this Jesus being born as Jesus Christ, is telling us that he's the king. This is a unique Jesus that was born. He's not like all the other Jesuses in the world. He's the king. That's who he is. And he's the king for a couple of reasons. And we're told those in the text too. Like Joseph doesn't want to divorce Mary. He's kind of in turmoil. What's going to happen? And an angel appears to him to reassure him. And the angel says, greets him in this way. The Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David. Well, that's who Jesus was. We know who that David is, David and Goliath, right? We know who that king is, David. Jesus could trace his lineage back to that king, David. So he had a family, he had an earthly lineage that went back through the kings and ultimately to David. And he's also king because God had ordained this. So in verse 20, the angel said, again, Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God was coming near in this thing. This was a God thing. He was sending a king. God was the one orchestrating this. And so a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Gold Christmas, we studied that passage, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, that this king would be born to us. The government would be on his shoulders. And his name would be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, there would be no end. And he would reign forever and ever. So Jesus Christ was born. The King came for us. And the first name mentioned here helps us understand who Jesus is. He's the King. Secondly, another name that's mentioned in the passage gets at what Jesus came to do. In verse 21, which our children quoted for us, the little children quoted this for us, we see that Jesus came to save. He came to save. So the angel kept reassuring Joseph about this child that would be born. He was not only going to be a king. This was Jesus Christ being born to the Son of David, and to the Holy Spirit was going to accomplish this, but his name would be Jesus. That Mary would bear a son, and he was to be named Jesus. Why? Because he would save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. It means Savior. That's what he came to do. So there's a couple of implications of that, right? One is, we need saving. I don't mean to, like, no matter what you may think, you don't have your act together. You don't have it as together as you think you do, right? There's a problem. The Bible says that you need to be rescued. I need to be rescued. So like Isaiah said earlier, your sins are like scarlet. Your sins are like eating a juicy blood orange in the snow. And it's all dripping all over the place. And you can see that it's left an undeniable mark that you're dirty. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We need to be rescued from that. That's why we need a Savior to come, because we need saved. So that's one implication. And the other implication, secondly, is that Jesus is up to the task of saving. I mean, isn't that incredible good news this holiday season? That no matter what you faced in 2020, Jesus has come to save. It's rather mind-boggling that God would put this rescue plan in place through a child. But that's exactly what he does. He sends his son as a baby. You might think, well, that's just crazy. It's foolishness. It's madness. No, that a child be born on a saving mission for all kinds of people. But God's ways are so much higher than our ways. You and I might choose to solve the sin problem differently. We might come up with something like, well, instead of like trusting in this baby who would come, how about I just try to do good for the rest of my life, and that'll be enough. Well, it won't be enough. You're not going to be good enough for the rest of your life, right? Like, it was all I could do to be good this morning, right? I can't put together a track record for the rest of my life that's impressive. I need someone to change me. I need someone to do that work in my heart to save me. God acts in this way, and he acts in a way that's going to be effective for all time. The Bible says that at the end of the Bible, that forever we're going to be praising this one who's come to rescue us. Forever the praise is going to go to this baby who grew up to be a man who died and rose again and who reigns forever. Forever the praise is going to go to him. It's the one who's seated on the throne, the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Forever we're going to be praising him. And so the proper response to this saving mission is to receive it, to believe, to trust God's plan, to look to Jesus and find salvation. So that's the second part. We've seen that Jesus is called Messiah or Christ, and that points to the fact that he's our King. We've seen what he came to do. He came to save. That's why he's named Jesus. And then there's this third part, this quote from Isaiah in verses 22 and 23. It tells us one more thing about who Jesus is, and it tells us that he's God in the flesh. He's God in the flesh. That this child that is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit, and he to call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the angel that is appearing to Joseph believes that every single thing that God has ever said is true. That everything that God has said in the Old Testament is true. The angel believes that. And the angelic reassurance to Joseph continues. All this that is going to happen is going to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So do you hear that at the end there? Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, think about that. Don't we need God with us here in 2020? I don't want a God that just like feels my pain in 2020. I want a God who is with me in 2020 and is with me in all the mess of life that I'm going through. And that's what we have in Jesus. That this would happen, and it's happening, that this son born is Emmanuel. It's God with us. It's an amazing, great good news that Jesus Christ would be God in the flesh. He would be human just like us. And that's what we looked at last week with Blue Christmas, right? That he has come near to us. He's identified with our weakness, and he helps us in our weakness because he's walked on earth just like we did. Whatever we face, we have a Savior who can identify with us. He's walked in our shoes and can give us hope as we live in this world. So the question is, are you looking to him for help? God with us is here. Are we looking to him? Are we looking elsewhere? So that's it, this passage today. Three names of Jesus in this passage. They help us see who Jesus is and what he came to do. The three names were Christ, Jesus, and Emmanuel. And Christ means that he's the Messiah, he's the King. Jesus means that he came to save. And Emmanuel means he's near us. That he's God in the flesh. He's come and he's been here just with us. This is just a simple glance at the Christmas story of Matthew's gospel. If you read all of Matthew's gospel, 28 chapters, you'd see the high point comes in the middle of the book when Jesus asks his followers a pointed question. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And one of his followers says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus assures his followers that this is the truth that all of life is built on, that all the church is to be built on. This truth that he is the Christ, he is the King, he's the Son of the living God, and he's come to rescue us. So today, who is Jesus to you? Have you trusted him? Have you put your hope in him and his saving work, the work he came to do? So turn from yourself to him. I mean, put your hope in this message that God's brought through a child. This is such good news. And if you're a believer, again, just like I've done every week, you're going to hear probably White Christmas. I don't think we're going to get a White Christmas here. Maybe you're traveling somewhere that's going to get one. But you're going to probably hear the song, or maybe you'll see it when you're scrolling through to find something to watch on Netflix. And let these White Christmas reminders, let the snow, let the white of Christmas remind you of who Jesus is and what he came to do. That he's Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And he came to save his people from their sins. There's hope in our King. There's hope in Emmanuel. That's what we believe. That's what our faith teaches us. There's hope in him coming to rescue us. So, what's our response going to be? Are we going to be like, "Oh, yeah, that's great good news. More cookies, please. Are we going to awe him? Are we going to worship him? Is it going to affect our hearts? So today, that's all I'm trying to do is just draw attention to this so that you can adore Christ for who he is and what he came to do. So let's worship and adore him this season, that we might be a people who glorify and enjoy him forever.